I am your host, Tommy Castle. Welcome to Castle's Corner Podcast, and thank you for joining us. I am your host, Tommy Castle. I am a sports media journalist and staff writer with the Metro West Daily and Milford Daily News. You can also find my work in the Needham Times and Wellesley Townsman sports sections, and you can also follow me on Twitter at TommyCastle44. You can also follow all things high school sports in the Metro West area by following us on Twitter at Metro West Sports and also on Instagram at Metro West Sports as well. Every week, I'll be bringing you close to people around the Metro West area that make high school sports great. Today, we have a special guest from Framingham High School. He was just currently named the Framingham Boys Basketball Coach. His name is Jason Goslin. Jason, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Daily News staff writer Brandon Chase just featured Jason in his weekly high school notebook. And that story can be found online at MetroWestDailyNews.com/sports. So on Tuesday, May 16th, Jason received news from Framingham Interim Athletic Director Paul Speer that he would be tabbed as the new boys varsity coach. Jason, what was your first reaction to the news?
The first reaction was obviously excitement, but when I got the call, I thought I was on my way to get some bad news. I thought they were going to ask me to stay on at the JV program, which really wouldn't have been bad, but just, you know, my heart was set on the real, you know, the head job. So I thought they were going to ask me to stay on JV and help the new coach out. So when Coach Speer let me know that I had gotten the job, it was, you know, I was overjoyed. Something I had been really, really hopeful about, and really outside of my marriage and my two kids being born, it's a moment I'll remember for a long time.
Yes, in an email you sent me before this interview, you can be quoted as saying, "The role was one that I wanted, but hadn't let myself get too excited about along the way. Aside from my wedding and the birth of my kids, it was a fantastic moment that I soon won't forget." Tell me a little bit about what the interview process was like.
Yeah, so there was two rounds of interviews with a committee. There was six people on the committee, including Coach Speer. A lot of great questions, people that obviously cared about the school, the program, the kids. So it was great. It was great to be a part of it. And like I said, really, really nice to see that people took pride in making sure they were intentionally choosing the next coach for the program.
What was the toughest part about the interview process for you, or the toughest question that you received during the two interviews?
Toughest part, I mean, anytime you're interviewing with multiple people, you always want to try to get a read on how your answers are going over, but everyone did a great job kind of giving me no inclination to how my answers were doing. The toughest question was probably, how do you define a successful season? Really, the temptation is to say wins and losses, but I think the thought that went into that question is really, what kind of experience are you providing for the kids that you coach? So that was a tough one that I don't think I was ready for.
After spending the past three seasons as Framingham's JV coach and the two prior seasons as the Flyers' freshman coach, Jason will take over for Ben Torbert, who coached for the Flyers the past 3 years, is that correct?
Yep.
As a varsity coach starting in this upcoming winter season, as Torbert and his family moved to Arizona. I know that you and Ben were close, obviously working side by side with JV and varsity games. What kind of advice did Ben give you, especially after Ben made the same move in 2014, moving over from JV coach to varsity at Framingham?
Yeah, Ben's great. He's been great the whole time. He's awesome. Really great to work with. Best advice he gave me was just to be myself. I think he learned to trust his instincts and kind of what he wanted to do and what he wanted to say, and not try to be anyone else other than yourself. I mean, that's the value you add. So Ben encouraging me to be me was really, really big going into the whole process.
A big part of this regular season for Framingham was the end of the year. I'm going to read a part of Brandon Chase's notebook for you. It said, at the end of the season, the Flyers had made back-to-back division one central tournament appearances with Goslin at Torbert's side as bench coach. Framingham surged in the second half this past winter to qualify for the postseason. On February 3rd, the Flyers sat at 5-8 with seven games to play, needing to win five of their final seven to clinch a spot. That night, Framingham squared off for perennial Bay State Conference title contender Newton North. Framingham won 71-63, which sparked a four-game win streak to get to 9-8. After a loss to Brookline on February 16th, the Flyers reached the postseason for the second consecutive year with an 83-52 win over Danvers on February 19th. That's a pretty impressive stretch right there, going from 5-8 to make the postseason. What was that stretch like for you in the program?
It was awesome. I mean, going into Newton North, we're 5-8. Newton North, we hadn't beaten in a long time, never mind in their gym. They're a phenomenal program. One of the best players in our conference, Ethan Wright, was actually down with an ankle injury, so that may have helped us a little. But the program wasn't just one player. They're phenomenal. So they jumped out on us early in timeouts. Some of the guys, the senior guys we had, were just encouraging us to stay the course, get buckets, get stops. And we went on a run entering that third quarter after halftime where we took a lead. We took a lead late. And probably were wondering if Newton North was going to take it back, but they never did, and we were able to close out a huge win and ride that momentum over the next, you know, handful of games. And it was really cool to watch that senior class begin to believe they could do something really, really special. They'd been battle-tested along the way. So to watch them win games and really come together and play the right way and play defense the right way and commit to each other and commit to the goal that they set as a team was really, really cool to be a part of.
And that senior class was part of a program that was able to make back-to-back state titles, and Framingham varsity boys basketball hadn't made the postseason since 2008 until the prior season, 2015-2016 winter season. So those seniors are able to be part of two varsity teams that made the postseason and also kind of rebuild the Framingham basketball program from what it was back in the early 2000s. What was it like for you as a JV coach and also a bench coach in varsity to see this team reach its goal of making the postseason for a second consecutive year?
It was a huge accomplishment for that group, really the whole team. But that work started a lot when they were in eighth grade. You know, when they came up and played in some summer leagues and started as freshmen, and that building process was a lot more than just the last 2 years. And those kids, you know, bought in and took some tough losses and went through some coaching transitions, but really never wavered. And did a great job making it more about the culture and who we are, not just what we do. And I think the young guys that are coming up behind them had great role models to look at in those kids. And you know, we were proud of them because they did something really, really great. You know, Framingham basketball, you know, I'm discovering now, I'm trying to get non-league games on the schedule, and some people don't want to play us because we've had a good run. But I'm sure there were days where it was a little easier to get non-league games on the schedule. And those kids change that. You know, they really, really changed the idea that comes along with thinking about Framingham basketball because of them.
Must have made it tough to see those kids have the last game be a loss. Tell me a little bit about what happened in the Division I Central game with Wachusett.
It was a tough game because we were waiting all year for a team to really play us in a zone. We were a team full of athletes that could get it going, but didn't have a lot of guys that were making consistent outside shots. And to Wachusett's credit, they were the team to do it. Very early in the game, they switched. Coach Gibbons switched to a zone that just really stymied everything we were trying to do. We couldn't make a shot, and just it's a frustrating way for a great season to end. But you know, credit to Wachusett, they've been there before. You know, they make adjustments they need to do to win, and we're hoping to get there someday. So yeah, it was frustrating to watch them go through that, but just a great group of kids that I don't think doubted anything they did all season just because of that one day.
I did get to see the team play a couple times this year, so I definitely agree with Jason's assessment, although he would know better than me, sitting on the bench most of the year. But breaking away from Framingham basketball, let's talk about a little bit about your basketball career. Jason went to Douglas High School and graduated in 1998, and then went on to Worcester State after that, playing basketball for 4 years. You had mentioned that you played in the Central, I think Division III when you were in Douglas?
Division III, yeah.
Growing up at Douglas, what's it like to now see some of those similar teams or same teams in the Central and across the state when you're coaching with Framingham?
It's great. I have a lot of fond memories of watching those teams in the Clark Tournament, the Wachusetts, the Algonquins, the, you know, the Holy Name High School, St. Peter Marion, Sutton High School, a lot of familiar names for me. So I love that these guys get to play, you know, in the Central. It's a great, great, you know, section. A lot of competitive teams there, whether it's Division I all the way down to Division IV. So it's good for me to know the schools and know the towns and see the kids play there. But yeah, it's a great opportunity for me to kind of see people I've known for a while.
Now, speaking of you, what was your style of play as a basketball player while you were in high school and college?
Timid, soft. In high school, you know, I learned a lot in high school. You know, our program wasn't very successful. We struggled quite a bit. But going from Douglas High School to Worcester State College, you know, Douglas is a small school. I think I had 50 kids in my graduating class.
Wow.
So to be a decent basketball player on a team that wasn't really great, you know, I was in for a little bit of an awakening when I got to Worcester State because that team was, you know, just made the ECAC tournament that year prior, which is basically the Division III version of the NIT. You know, we won our conference tournament. our regular season title my sophomore year and lost to Salem State, who made the Final Four that year. So there were some really good basketball players at Worcester State. And the first couple years there, I had to learn how to really play hard. I had to learn to defend and play tough and not, you know, be up and down mentally and emotionally. So I think I developed into really a tough player that played a tough style of basketball and hit shots, took care of the ball, and defended as hard as he could.
I think you had mentioned you'd be going from a big fish in a small pond to being thrown into the ringer at Worcester State. How will that learning experience transfer over, and how will you correlate that to your coaching style now as a varsity coach at Framingham?
Yeah, well, I think, again, being maybe one of the better players on my high school team to really trying to develop into a role player in my college experience, eventually being the captain of my senior year, I think I can relate really well to whatever experience one of my players is having, whether they're my best player or they're barely a rotation guy. I've experienced each one of those roles and everything in between, and convincing them that there's a value they can add every day in practice, and every great player's got to be a great teammate first, and I learned that lesson, and knowing what you can do for your team when you just buy into the role and be part of something bigger is really, really a great opportunity. So I like being able to speak to both sides of that because I experienced it during my career.
Now, stepping aside from basketball and coaching just for a second, what do you do for fun outside of basketball and the hardwood, and what's your family life like?
Sure. I try to keep my kids alive, which is always fun. I have a 3-year-old daughter and a 1-year-old son. My wife Lilia, we've been married for 9 years this April. So that's really a big part of what I do outside of basketball is my family life there. I'm a big CrossFit guy, so I try to stay fit. I still play basketball once or twice a week. You know, anything I can do to not look as old as I am is a bonus for me.
I know it's got to be hard, but I'm sure CrossFit will help you out with that. And playing basketball, speaking of basketball, are you preparing for your son to maybe play for the Flyers in 14 years?
I'd be curious. If he wants to play for me, that'd be a really good vote of confidence for me. We'll see. Hopefully I'm still there.
Speaking of youngsters, what type of feeder system or what kind of role will you help in building basketball levels or programs for youngsters at Framingham?
Yeah, we've got a lot of great youth opportunities for kids to play basketball, and really that's what it is giving young kids opportunities to play the game, fall in love with the game like I did when I was a kid, and really just continue to develop as players and figure out what they want to do with it. I know I've had some initial conversations with the girls coach over at Framingham, Kristen, and we've talked about, you know, clinics in the summer, clinics in the fall. We've got a summer camp, the Drucker School of Basketball, with Framingham alum Jordan Drucker, that's pretty successful. That's going to be run for 3 weeks in July. So anything we can do to give kids opportunities to play is a bonus for us. And then learning about our youth programs, you know, going to see TBA and travel basketball and getting exposed to what's going on there and meeting the guys that are really volunteering and doing a lot of great work with our community's young kids and giving them chances to play. So I look forward to doing whatever I can to help.
Now, it's interesting that the parallels between you and Ben's careers with Framingham basketball, very similar. What kind of advice has he given you, or what kind of advice will you seek from him before he leaves for Arizona?
Yeah, well, again, him encouraging me to be myself is huge. He's someone I respect a lot for what he's done, and he takes the job seriously. He prepares. He's a detailed guy. Loves the game. So someone you respect really, really, you know, highly, to tell you to be yourself is a really great vote of confidence. But he and I will sit down a couple times before he leaves and just learn what I can. You know, what did he want to know, you know, year one going in from JV to varsity? You know, what did he wish, the cliche question, right? What do you wish you knew now that you wish you knew then, that kind of thing. So anything I can learn from Ben before he departs is obviously going to be huge. So I look forward to sitting with him along the way. And then, again, technology these days, we'll be in touch probably a lot more than he wants to at this point, but he's stuck with me.
Yeah, a couple texts a week during the winter is something I think he and you should expect.
Yes.
But going into next season, moving away from last winter, what steps are you taking now to prepare, and what do you expect of your players heading into next winter?
Yeah, as far as what I expect from the players, I want them, you know, I'm a big student-athlete guy. They're not athlete students, so I really want them to finish the year strong in school. I mean, school's almost over. They're still in school, so hopefully they're not checked out yet mentally. I want them to start school strong in the fall. And then skill work opportunities. We've got volunteer coaches and opportunities for them to develop their skill. And then we've got a summer league coming up as well. So whether they're playing AAU or playing another sport or whatever they're doing, I'm hoping they're just becoming better athletes. Again, making sure they're preparing, because we're not just going to show up and make the tournament again. It's going to take a lot of work, and that starts now. But as far as expectations for next season, we've got a lot of jerseys being vacated and shoes to fill. So we've got a great young class. We've got some returning seniors who I'm really, really encouraged by, like Paul Gallins and Evan Daniels. I'm looking forward to these guys making this team their own, carrying on what the guys before them have helped build, and we want to see that continue. And I'm sure what I know about the group coming up is they're excited about that opportunity, as am I.
Yeah, you have to replace the likes of Daily News All-Star Gio Aga and 9 other seniors who graduated and helped build this program to where it is now. Mm-hmm. What do you expect of your team going into next season, and how can you help them continue and carry on that legacy?
Yeah, I expect them to play like champions. That's a tagline that I've been told since I was a kid at camp. Coach Steven Romasco out at Sutton High School, who's no longer with us, but he had a summer camp that I attended as a young kid, and we were told to play like champions. And that's not because you win every game, but you conduct yourself as such, and that's what I expect of the guys going forward, is to conduct themselves as champions no matter whether things are going right or wrong. We do things a certain way, and that the rest of it's going to take care of itself. And I know they're looking forward to it. I'm beyond excited to get back around them on the daily and get better every day and really play like champions and see what they can do.
Well, I know we're still in the spring sports season, but personally, myself, I'm always looking forward to basketball season in the winter, so I know I'm looking forward to seeing what Framingham basketball can do this year, even if we had to replace 10 seniors. And I really want to thank Jason for coming in today, as well as our producer, Caitlin Kelleher, for all her work. You can subscribe to Castle's Corner Podcast on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you subscribe to podcasts, while also checking in every Wednesday for a new Castle's Corner Podcast. If you have any ideas, feel free to reach out to me on Twitter at TommyCastle44, as I look forward to bringing you closer to all those who make high school sports great in the Metro West area. Thanks again, Jason, for joining me.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me in.
And thank you all for joining me here on Castle's Corner Podcast. Until next time, I'm Tommy Castle, and thanks for checking in.